soldier, oh, the cross afar, where oh, the Lamb of the Lamb, in shall I fit to own his course, oh, plush, to speak his name. Oh, when the battle is over, and when the battle's over, hallelujah, we shall wear it, wear a crown, yes, we shall wear it, wear a crown, we shall wear it. Oh, and when the battle's over, oh, we shall wear it, oh, in that new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining. Oh, when the battle is over, when it's over, we shall wear it, oh, in that new Jerusalem. Oh, must I be carried to the skies on flowery ribbons? Oh, no, 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 while I this for to win the prize and save through blood is saved. When it's over, and when the battle's over, when it's over, we shall wear it, wear a crown, we shall wear it. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Hallelujah. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown. Shining crown. When the battle is over, and when the battle's over, when it's over, we shall wear it, oh, in that new Jerusalem. Oh, and then no foes to to face, must I not stem the, must I not stem the flood? Is this my world afraid to grace to have me own to God? Oh, when the battle is over, and when the battle's over, we shall wear it, wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear it, when the battle is over, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Shining, oh, when the battle is over.
Saints, God bless you this morning. Amen. I'm sure you heard Brother Vlad and them, the exhaust fell off on the way to church, so let's keep them in prayer. And also Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre, they've traveled to England for the funeral of his brother, which is tomorrow. So they were asking for prayer as well. When the battle's over, we'll wear a crown. But until then, we keep on fighting. One thing you must never do is give in to the devil. When he says boo, just say boo back. Just resist him, friends. Too many times we give in to the devil. You feel discouraged. Ah, I don't feel like doing this and that. That's the best time to do it. So many times if I feel discouraged, you know what I do? Pick up my phone, I phone somebody. I send someone a text message. I do something. I want to sow something so I can get a harvest back in return. You've got to go against the tide many times. Don't give in to the circumstances. It's a real key in your Christian life. And many times, just before the blessing comes, the devil comes to oppress you. The prophet says, just before you're about to have a breakthrough, that's the darkest time. That's why the voice said to the prophet from beyond the curtain of time, just keep pressing on. Friends, that's good advice. Just keep pressing on. If you only knew what is at the end of the journey. And the apostle told us it's now far later than when we first believed. We've never been closer to the coming of the Lord. We're closer now than we've ever been. So let's gird up our loins. Let's push on by the grace of God. Let's open Hebrews chapter 12. We'll take a reading. We want to just finish up what we started last week, if the saints don't mind on that. I do know that it's not easy topics because, you know, some people don't like those kind of things I've seen. Now, some people, they always want a certain type of preaching. But sometimes there's a certain season where it's good to bring everything together and lay it down. And, you know, you accumulate things over time. You read certain things, you pick up things. And then sometimes there's a good season to come and bring it all together and try to tie it down. The prophet used to do it, and we can't be wiser than the prophet. Now, the prophet said something, quoting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, you are my friends. I hold back nothing from you. And the prophet would come many times and show even current events. Say, I just wanted to show you because I don't want to hold anything back from you. So if I see certain things which I find help me, I will just come and preach them. Because there's certain things that have some virtue in them. Let's read Hebrews 12. We'll read from verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, you refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall we not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. So friends, there's two kingdoms we can build and put all our affections upon. The kingdoms of this world, the omens are there already. Judgment's already been passed by Elijah in this day. The signs of the times are everywhere. There's Ichabod written above the door. The glory of the Lord has departed. Imagine taking all your strength and all your talents that God has given you and investing them in something which you know is going to fall. That would be foolishness. But we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. So is it not better to invest in that kingdom? To store up treasures in heaven? There's no thief there, there's no moth, there's no rust, Jesus said. Because these kingdoms here are being shaken, friends. And there's the final shaking coming soon. We don't set dates, but I just want to show you a few things that are coming in the next couple of years. Signs in the skies and so forth. All these things testify of one thing. We had a prophet. He spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And God is confirming. Like it says about the prophet Samuel, God didn't allow any of his words to fall to the ground. So God is confirming his word. Let's also read Revelation chapter 6, which is speaking of the tribulation, the tribulation seal. So we'll just take our thought from there as well. Revelation chapter 6, let's read from 12 to 17 to the end of the chapter. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Let's remember that. The sun becoming black and the moon like blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely fig. So there was a great shaking. And all the figs were shaken before their time. As when she's shaken of a mighty wind, in verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men, all the Wall Street Jews, and all of the financiers, the rich men, the great men of the earth, Obama, and all these great men of the earth, who are having their day now. But then they come to the end of their day. And it comes to the day of the Lord. And it says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man. That covers everybody. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, for the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. Let's pray. Father, your word is blessed already. Amen. Bless your people this day, I pray. Jesus, the song says, touch your people one more time. Let it be so upon this day. Father, may you minister grace to Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia with their car. May you minister everything that they need. Father, may you be the oil in the machine. I'd ask and I'd pray. And Father, for Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre, I pray that you'd have mercy upon them. Lord, I pray that you'd use them. Father, in the midst of those circumstances, that you'd anoint them. Father, as a witness, Lord, of you, that Father, we established on you. Father, a rock that even in the midst of sorrow, a refuge, even in the midst of storms. So, Father, let it be so. Let it be lived out. Let the word be made flesh. That, Father, other people that may not read the Bible, Father, may they see living epistles written of thee, Father. May you be glorified, we pray. Bless your people this day. Bless and help us. Bless Brother Jose as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. So I want to continue on from last week. If you can put the slides. So I want to continue on this mystery of 9/11. I was speaking to Brother Vergus, he was saying with Brother George and them, they went and found that rabbi who was the first man who spoke of these things. And to me, when I watched it, it was very, very powerful to me. Because I love to find things that confirm what you believe. It's so nice. Because God has many ways of confirming truth. You know, he says even if people won't worship him, the rocks will cry out. God will always have a witness, friends. When Brother George went to Lithuania and all the met some of the critic brothers, and they're trying to blast, you know, the visions of the prophet and so forth. And they say, but that memorial bridge, we can't find any proof that anybody died building the memorial bridge. God always has a witness. Brother Perry Green comes on. I watched it on YouTube. He hasn't been preaching. He's old. He's very sick. He's not well. He comes on. He says, these brothers are saying about the memorial bridge. He says, when Brother Branham died, I spoke to the mayor who used to be the mayor of Jeffersonville. And I asked him, did you know William Branham? And the mayor said, that man was a prophet. He told us of those people dying on the bridge before it was built. God always has a witness, friend. We saw it that other time when they attacked the Brown Bear Vision. There was Brother Biscoll, he was there. I've learned that, friends, when the critics come, just hold on. Just be quiet, be still. And God will always bring the confirmation of what is right. But you've got to recognize those signs. You've got to give God a chance. Sometimes we jump too fast to listen to things that we shouldn't listen to, or to believe things that have got no basis. But sometimes it has a real anointing on it, friends. You've got to be careful, because the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I found when things come that confuse you and you don't understand them, don't act. Take it to the Lord. Wait on the Lord, like Brother George did there. And God always has a solution. There'll always be a witness of the truth that will come. The prophet says it of Simeon in the temple. He said, God will always have a witness. He says, when all those other people were saying Jesus was illegitimate and all those things, on the day of judgment, they'll have no place to stand, because God had a witness. And God sent forth that witness just at the right time. And he took Jesus in his arms. He says, now my eyes have seen your salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Let your servant depart in peace. And at the same time, there came a certain prophetess called Anna, who was a widow, I think 80-something years. And she served God day and night in the temple with fasting and prayer. And she coming that instant, just at that time, God had reserved her just to witness at that time. She came, and she bore witness of Christ. It's always like it, friends. They invite Jesus down there to Simon the Pharisee's house to mock him, criticism, yeah? And the whole atmosphere was poisonous with criticism. And all other people were looking and saying, ah, look, Simon pulled one over Jesus, did you see? He left him with dirty feet. God never allows circumstances to stay like that. God had a woman, the worst sinner in the city. And God anointed her just at that time to come and anoint him. And when all the rest were criticizing, Jesus says, she's anointed me for my death. Wherever the gospel is preached, this woman will be mentioned as a memorial. God always has a witness, friend. And if you and I are humble, if you and I don't think we know everything, the prophet says, don't worry. Whatever you need, God will bring it to you. You and I never had to go searching for Christ. We had a need, and God brought the solution to us. You and I never searched for this message, friends. We didn't even know that Elijah was supposed to come. But God knew what we needed, and he brought the truth to us. That's the same God we serve today. Whatever you need, God will bring it to you. Just be still. Don't panic, don't rush. Don't try to take it in your own hands and say, no, let's manufacture something here. Like Sarah and Abraham, just wait. God has his provided way. Just wait for him to go before in the mulberry trees. And when he goes before, then move. Just respond when the time is right. But until then, just wait upon the Lord. The prophet says he has to go before. He has to. Don't let pressure, circumstances push you into decisions you'll regret down the way. Just wait on the Lord, friends. That's the key. Just wait, let him go before. He has the answer. And I really saw it on so many of these things. He said God really confirms and vindicates. I mean, this rabbi, Jonathan Kahn was his name, when he caught this revelation, I just saw it as such a vindication of the message. Because like we finished off saying last week, where the denominations reject many times what this man says,
quand les dénominations
is because of that one point.
Cet accord et ces seuls
they
points,
say,
ils disent,
but America cannot type Israel.
Amérique, l'Amérique
it
ne
cannot
peut pas
be time for the judgment of America if they type one another.
Ça peut pas être le type de,
because
de
God
de
sent Israel a prophet.
Parce que Dieu a envoyé un prophète
he
en
sent
Israël.
Them prophetic warning first.
Il leur a envoyé un avertissement.
So how can God already be judging America?
Comment est-ce que
where's
Dieu
the
peut
prophet?
Juger, où est le prophète?
That's when I got really interested about
c'est
it.
Alors que j'ai
said, très this is powerful.
Cela parce que c'est puissant.
And when you go and study, as we saw when the prophet said it in Jezebel religion last week, I'll just quote it again. The prophet says it's a striking thing to see the parallel between Israel of the Old Testament and America now. Both of them were great nations. And he speaks of their foundation and so forth. He says they parallel one to the other perfectly. And you'll find if you trace back in Israel's last days, Elijah came in the days of Ahab and
Jezebel.
And then Elijah passed off the scene. And Elijah was dead for quite a number of years before the Syrians came and judged Israel. And it's exactly the parallel. The prophet came, Elijah. He finished his course. He went to his reward. We're 50 years down the way, just about, friends. And now the things that the prophet spoke then, just like when Elijah spoke it before. The prophecy, well, let's put it this way, modern events catch up with prophecy. Prophecy now meets its appointed time.
And
what was spoken before, you see it coming to pass. And that's why it's important to understand how prophets prophesy. In warning then judgment, we know this, the prophet says. He says a prophet foresees way off. He sees things that is coming. He sees the cup of God's wrath full before it is full. So the prophet raises up in that dimension. And he sees the things as a reality before they are reality. And he actually comes down and speaks of those things present tense. But they don't actually exist yet. You know, it's so interesting in the message. The prophet speaks about the immorality on television. They didn't have any immorality on television in those days. The first kiss on television was in 1967. The first nakedness was in the 1970s. And I'm sure many people would have looked at the prophet and said, what is this man speaking about? He's speaking of all this immorality. People would go and turn on their TVs. This is foolishness in those days. Because the prophet sees things well off. Because the prophet sees the spirit behind something. You see, he sees something in its infancy in seed form. And he knows the harvest that's going to bring. He can see condemnation now, yet we don't see it. Because he can see the spirit that's governing. He can see the very essence behind what's being done. Though it may be in its infancy. He sees the maturity of those things. He says, he can say, thus saith the Lord. God will destroy the city except you repent. Why, he's an eagle. He rises up way up yonder. And he looks way off there and sees the cup poured forth. Now we're seeing the cup being poured forth. In reality, the prophet saw it 50, 60 years ago. And he spoke of it as something already done. Because the counsel of the Lord will always stand sure. He says, That's what the prophet's looking at.
C'est à cela que le prophète regarde.
He isn't looking what's going on here.
Il ne regarde pas ce qui se passe.
He's looking yonder.
Il regarde au-delà.
He's saying it's coming.
Il dit que ça arrive.
He can go so high until he sees
il
that shadow.
Il peut aller aussi plus loin jusqu'à voir l'ombre.
And he says the world will be in darkness, gross darkness.
Le monde sera en ténèbres, une
grande ténèbre. He's up high enough.
Il est élevé très haut.
He says the sun is shining now.
Le soleil brille maintenant.
But he sees the shadow coming.
Mais il voit l'ombre venir.
And he's saying what he's looking at.
Il dit ce à quoi il regarde.
It isn't here yet.
Il n'est pas encore ici.
But it sure will be here.
Et certainement, ça sera
he knows
ici.
It's coming.
Il sait que ça arrive.
Years away.
Des années
yet
avant.
He sees it.
Et parce qu'il le voit.
That's a really important principle to remember in all of these things.
Important qu'il faut se souvenir.
Is that so many of those things that the prophet spoke of?
De ces choses
because they tarried.
Parce que ça tardait.
Like Peter said in the Bible,
et comme Pierre a dit
the critic
Bible,
says, where's the promise of his coming? It's just as sure
Dieu.
To come as anything.
Aussi certain
because it's already been seen and it's already been spoken.
Il a déjà vu et il en a déjà parlé.
The mouth of the Lord has spoken it through his prophets. Isaiah said a virgin
Isaiah
shall conceive.
Dit,
712 years later.
712
that
ans
seed that was spoken.
C'est
the word that was spoken.
La
it intersected
parler,
with the right time.
Vient au temps
and there was the right person at the right place in the right time.
La
and all that had been spoken came to pass.
Et la parole qui était
that word now found fertile ground in the virgin's womb. And it brought forth the promise. And the prophet says, maybe Isaiah, when he said it, a virgin shall conceive. He might have been embarrassed afterwards. What did I say? But just wait. Because it wasn't him. Because it says men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophecy never came of their own will, the Bible says. But they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible actually said the scriptures are God-breathed. God breathed through them. They didn't even know what they were saying many times. But it was the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord will always come to pass. So the prophet, even in the church age book, he uses this principle of Israel and America, speaking of the coming of Elijah. In the Pergamene church age, it's page 174 of the church age book, he's showing that Elijah will have to come to America. And where does he get his confidence from? It's because Elijah came to Israel in their last days. And Israel's a perfect type of America. And Israel had their Ahab. America voted Kennedy, the first Catholic president.
L'Amérique a voté Kennedy, le premier.
But who was the power behind Ahab was Jezebel.
Et qui était la puissance derrière,
who was the power behind Kennedy was Rome.
Qui est la puissance derrière,
so the prophet Kennedy saw the perfect parallel.
Ainsi, le prophète a vu les parallèles.
And he knew, so at that time in Israel there,
et il a vu, en ces temps-là, en
when
Israël,
these conditions happened,
ces conditions,
Elijah came to them. Therefore at this time to America, Elijah must come to them. And he did. But when Elijah came to Israel, how many people accepted Elijah? Very few. They didn't want Elijah. They wanted all of their pagan religion. They wanted this Jezebel system that came in. There was just a handful who wanted that Elijah system that God brought in. So it's going to be exactly the same in the parallels. Solomon, the wisest man, apart from Jesus, what did he say? He said, there's nothing new under the sun. That which is now has already been. That principle is a powerful principle. Because there's parallels. In the natural world, they say history repeats itself. I've told it once before of Churchill. When he was made Prime Minister of Britain at the beginning of the Second World War. And they were in trouble because their troops were stuck in France. Because the Germans had overrun France.
Les Allemands pouvaient se tenir au
and the French had been defeated in a short time.
Les Français étaient déchus, étaient vaincus.
And the British were in covenant with France and had sent their troops to help defend France. And the Germans using Blitzkrieg, using their Panzers and their Stuka bombers. It was a different type, new type of warfare. Lightning warfare. They destroyed Belgium, destroyed everybody.
Ils ont détruit tout le monde.
And the British had to evacuate to Dunkirk. It was a place on the French French coast,
or Belgian coast.
And there were hundreds of thousands of British and French troops caught in this small area, surrounded by the Germans.
Une centaine de troupes anglaises qui étaient entourées par les Allemands.
And the newspaper reporters came to Churchill at that time and said,
"How do you
see things unfolding themselves from now?"
Comment est-ce que tu vois
and
les
Churchill said,
maintenant? Et Churchill a dit,
"We'll evacuate them.
Nous allons les évacuer.
And from the jaws of defeat, we'll gain victory."
Nous avons gagné la victoire.
And they did. They sent over every boat they had, the pleasure boats, all the boats they had in England. They sent across the channel. It was a powerful story if ever you watch it. All the fishing boats, all the barges, anything that could float. They sent them quickly across the English Channel, which isn't very wide. And they evacuated hundreds of thousands of troops. And then there was the Battle of Britain and the tide turned. America joined the war and they defeated Hitler. So they came to Churchill at the end of the war, the same reporter. And they said, "But how did you know what was going to happen?" He said, "It's very easy." He said, "I study history." And he says, "History repeats itself." And that's a powerful principle. Because if we can see patterns in the words,
si nous pouvons voir le modèle dans la parole,
we can just project them forward.
Nous pouvons les projeter.
And you're going to see from the shadow very much the substance of what's to come.
Et voir de l'ombre, la substance des choses à venir.
So that's why the prophet says,
c'est pourquoi le prophète dit,
that Elijah has to come.
Élie doit venir
to America, he says, because that was history repeating itself from the time of Ahab.
Qui s'est répété au temps d'Acab.
So history always has to repeat
Mais si,
itself.
L'histoire doit toujours se répéter.
And that's why the prophet was a typologist.
C'est pourquoi le prophète était un typologiste.
He really went through types and shadows.
Il a étudié les types et les ombres
to make sure that everything was within the pattern and the scope
était dans le modèle
of God's prophetic plan being unfolded.
Du plan prophétique.
And he speaks of the jigsaw puzzle.
Et il parle de ces puzzles.
You know, and he says, you've got to see the big picture first before you can put the small pieces in place.
Vous devez voir d'abord la grande image avant de mettre les pièces
you know,
en place.
So when you find the denominational systems, many of them are sincere.
Lorsque vous trouvez les systèmes denominationnels,
but what they believe and
sincères,
what they're trying to put together doesn't match the big picture.
Ne s'accorde pas avec l'image.
They don't have. They're trying to, like he says, you'll end up with a cow picking grass in the top of a tree. The prophet said. If you don't have the picture that you're working with, to say, but this has got some green on it, it has to go on the bottom here somewhere. And that's the way that it works. So I just wanted to finish off say a few more things here. You know, just last week after this, I was just continuing to read on this a little bit, and I found just certain things that really, in a sense, blessed me as a confirmation of this day that we're living in. So we just wanted to look at part two here. If you, and the thing we wanted to look at, first of all, this is our scripture. We know it from last week. The bricks have fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. We could see from the very spirit of that verse that instead of judgment, when it visited Israel, it was 732 BC, whatever, instead of that judgment humbling them and getting them to search within and consider their ways, it brought out the worst in them. You know, Martin Luther said that, and it's very true. He said judgment, trials, tribulations. He says it just brings out what you are. He says if tribulation comes on you, trials, and you're an unbeliever, and you're a critic, and you're full of fear, that tribulation will just make you more of an unbeliever, more of a critic, and just manifest your fear. He says, but if you go into a tribulation or trial, and you're a real believer, and there's purity in your heart, and there's faith, and there's a character, that tribulation will just bring out more of that character, more of that faith. That's the value of trials to a believer. But the same trials that perfect a believer destroys the unbeliever. The prophet said the same water that saved Noah, it's the same one that judged the world. The same circumstances, exactly the same trial. But people came out of it very different. Depending on the way that you went into it. And that should give a believer hope. Or that you might look at yourself and say, I wish I had more faith. The prophet says, we need to be careful. So sometimes you pray, Lord, give me more faith. So he leads you into trouble. He leads you into trials. And that's the very answer to your prayer. Because the only way that faith can grow is when it's exercised. The only way that we can really know in a deeper sense the faithfulness of the Lord is when we need to see his faithfulness. When everything else is falling apart, then you find he's a solid rock, that he's a refuge in a time of storm, that the name of the Lord is a mighty tower, that the righteous can run into and be safe. But that verse will never become more real to you unless there's circumstances that come into your life in which you need those things to become more real to you. And that's when the Lord really shows his faithfulness. And that's what we see with America. You know, the prophet actually says it in the message. I don't know if I've got it here. Yes, in Revelation chapter 4. He says, back when America was America, she was a great nation. The greatest the world has ever known since Israel. That was a powerful nation, that phrase. But how quickly it's fallen. How quickly, just like Israel. Israel was called to be a light to the nations. A light to the nations. When the Pilgrim Fathers went to America, they based the entire constitution on the laws of Israel.
Toute leur constitution sur les lois.
And they said it in their writings, we want to be a city on a hill. That the light may shine forth to the nations.
Afin que la lumière puisse jaillir aux nations.
And for years it happened.
Et pendant des années, cela
America was a light, it was freedom. It accepted all the oppressed from the world.
La liberté. Ils acceptaient
and all the people, the outcasts, the rejects, the persecuted. It allowed them to come in. Gave them a refuge, gave them a home. It was a refuge for the Jews. It was a mighty nation. But how the mighty have fallen. Just like Israel, how darkness, gross darkness, like the prophet says, has overtaken them. And their decline has been so rapid. So quick it's going down that you don't believe it. You can't believe it. Now that rabbi, when he speaks about it, it's very interesting how he says it. He says just how quickly you would find the prophets in Israel being so respected in days gone by. Then there came a generation. And the very things which they used to respect became objects of derision. It's like they hated Elijah, Israel. They hated
it.
What did the king say? You are the one that troubles Israel. Remember, to Elijah. And in the end, it led right to a persecution.
Et à la fin, ils ont conduit vers la
persécution. The very foundation
la
of Israel
même d'Israël
was the prophets, the law and the prophets.
Le prophète, le
was
Seigneur,
the word.
C'était la parole.
And that same nation Israel,
la même nation Israël,
there came a generation that started to wage war with the very foundation they were built on.
Qui a engagé une guerre avec la fondation même.
And their law courts,
like
in America now,
comme en Amérique,
they started to pass laws to condemn the very foundation of the nation, which is the word.
Même, de la fondation sur
Friends,
la
how long will it be
combien de temps, vous pensez,
if a nation declares war
si
against the very source of its blessing,
yeah? La guerre contre
which is the Lord and his ways
laquelle,
and his people,
bâtiments,
his word. How long will it take before a nation falls?
Ça prendra pour
when
que
a nation starts
nation
warring against the source of its blessing.
À faire la guerre contre la
That's what America is doing. It's declared war against God. It has.
La guerre contre Dieu.
In its legislature.
Dans sa législature.
Friends, they've got a Pharaoh that knows not Joseph in charge.
Big time.
He may know the right words to say when he goes to. So he's a politician.
C'est un politicien, il connaît les
that man is an
parler.
Unbeliever.
Mais cet homme est
that man does not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Pas dans les dieux d'Abraham, Isaac,
and the way that he treats Netanyahu and the children of God proves it. And his policies and the things that he stands for. America ended up with leaders like that, the prophet said.
L'Amérique va finir avec
they can utter the name of the Lord, but it means nothing. Because they don't believe. The very essence of what governs them is not the word. It's the spirit of the end time. The prophet says they're in the spirit of the last days. That's why they do the things that they do. He says there's a gross darkness and it just presses the people. And many of these things they do, they don't even, it's beyond even their understanding why they're doing the things. Because there's a sinister foe called the devil. And he plots in his dark secret counsels. And just as much as the Lord has his will and his counsels and his purposes, and he needs vessels in his hands to be used to execute his will. Exactly so the devil and the powers of darkness. He needs vessels in his hands. He needs political vessels, religious vessels, so that he can bring to pass his heart's desire, which is what? The Tower of Babel. The prophet says they're building the tower again. He says a one world government. It's what the devil in Nimrod wanted right after the flood. He wanted to say everyone must speak the same language, same currency. Unite around this great achievement of man. Nimrod was the first type of the Antichrist. And those nations that wouldn't join Nimrod used force and persecution, military might to force them to join in this great tower that he was building. And the prophet says, imagine 1965, he said in the Church Age book, he said, when we see these things taking place, he says it's all leading to a one world government. And we're going to have a Nimrod, and he's the beast. And if you don't join that system, you're going to be persecuted. That's where we're heading to. So there's something about this tower. Now this tower in America at 9/11 is, to me, it's but a shadow. It's a warning. Once again. And we saw that Israel in those days, in this spirit of defiance, of arrogance, the Bible says. Willful. That's like people willfully harden themselves against the Lord.
Volontairement, les gens se sont endurcis.
And you can only do that so many times. And then you know what happens. You won't die. The Bible says the Lord gives you over. And you become a vessel of dishonor.
Dieu te donne et tu seras un
and you believe a lie and you'll be damned by it, the Bible says. Because you refuse the love of the truth. The Bible says God will give them over to a reprobate mind.
Dieu va leur donner une
that they'll actually think they're doing the right thing. But it's bringing damnation and judgment upon themselves. And that's what happens. When people get defiant before God's judgment. And people don't humble themselves. So Israel back there, they said, it's okay. Yeah, the Syrians have come, they've broken down our city, it's okay. We are Israel, don't people know, you can't mess with us. Like America, it's the same, friends. And what did they do? They said, okay. You've broken down our bricks. We're going to build with stones. We're going to make something bigger than what was there. Yes, the enemy's come, he's knocked down our sycamores. It's okay. We will build in the plant in their place bigger trees, cedar trees. That was an attitude, friends, that brought about the complete destruction of Israel. And they never resurrected from them until our generation. And it's this attitude which is a proof to a believer that there's not much time left, friends. The prophet told us the judgments of God are in the earth. And we see it. So they say 9/11 is broken down. All the bricks are in piles. Instead of the people humbling themselves and saying, what does this mean? You know, why has God allowed our defenses to be breached for the first time like this? They said, doesn't matter. We're going to build something bigger. And they go there to New York and they bring, we saw it last week, that big hewn stone. And they have a big ceremony and they lay it at ground zero. And they start building the Freedom Tower now. And it's going to be 1,776 feet tall. The tallest building in America. Because America was founded in 1776. So they said, we'll make it 1,776 feet tall. They've knocked down the trade center, so we're going to build something bigger. And we saw it last week, on September the 12th, the day after September 11th. There's the speaker of the majority in Congress, Tom Daschle. And they ask him, come and give a word, speaking on behalf of the nation. And he says, there's one scripture which I found, which will encourage us at this time. And he reads Isaiah 9, verse 10. The bricks have been broken down. We'll build with hewn stone. And then a couple of years later, then they have Edwards comes, a vice presidential candidate at the big breakfast. And he uses the same scripture. And he says, there's a word of the Lord that can encourage us at this time. And he takes Isaiah 9 verse 10. The very scripture speaking of Israel's demise and the reason for it. Then it comes to 2009. They're building the Freedom Tower now. It's going higher and higher. So they invite President Obama to come along. And they've got the last girder, imagine. It's a big steel girder. It's the last one that's going to be the crowning piece. At the very top of the Freedom Tower. And they asked President Obama to come and sign something on the girder. I showed it last week, but I wanted to explain. I didn't have time last week. Oh, sorry, I'll get on to this one here just now. So there's the Freedom Tower. So they're about to put this last girder. So they invite him. There's this big ceremony. Here it is here. Here's President Obama. And they have this big steel girder. And imagine, this is the crowning piece. It's going to overlook the whole of America from its highest point. It's the pinnacle of the Freedom Tower. And they ask him, write something on this girder before we put it in the building. And there he's writing. And that's when he wrote, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. It's exactly the same spirit, friends. We've rebuilt. And it's interesting, because Isaiah 9, it's a future prophecy. They were saying, we shall rebuild. We shall replant. And Obama speaks in present tense. We remember. We rebuild. We come back stronger. So here, so you can see the spirit of the end times, friend. You can see the very fulfillment of what was pre-shadowed before. And these people in the very shadow of it.
Et la, les, ces gens sont l'ombre de cela.
And right at the straight center.
Et juste à ce tour de
I'll show you one more thing which I found was really interesting.
Je vais vous montrer quelque chose que j'ai trouvé très
It's called the Charred Bible. I don't know if anybody
la...
saw this, but it's very interesting.
C'est très intéressant. C'est
this man, Mike Susan, he was the official photographer of 9/11 Ground Zero.
Cet homme était le photographe de la, du niveau zéro.
I have his testimony here about how he took this photo.
J'ai un témoignage.
But he went right to Ground Zero there, and he was looking around. He was taking photos.
Niveau zéro, il prenait les.
And he's got a big ambition about it.
Il a une grande ambition.
But he says, I got to this one place, and I saw these pages.
Je suis arrivé à cet endroit.
Imagine this is 93 days after September the 11th. And he sees these pages, these charred pages, in amongst all the rubble.
Il a vu ces pages parmi tous ces débris.
He says,
il dit,
I saw something sticking out from underneath, and I moved the papers.
J'ai vu quelque chose collé là en dessous.
Underneath was some wet, burnt papers. Three pages.
En dessous, il y avait certaines.
They were from the Bible.
Elles étaient les pages de la Bible.
I was awed.
J'étais bizarre.
I took two pictures.
J'ai pris deux photos.
And it was not until later when I got the roll back to the laboratory.
Et c'est seulement plus tard lorsque je suis arrivé.
Reminds me of those people in Houston 1950. They took their photos.
Savez,
and then they went back to the laboratory, remember?
Ils devraient se rendre au laboratoire.
And they developed all the photos were blank and then they found the pillar of fire, remember?
Toutes ces photos, ils ont
this man goes back to the laboratory and he prints now his prints.
Cet homme s'en va maintenant au laboratoire et il imprime ses photos.
It was not until later.
C'est juste
when I got the roll back from the lab that I fell over in my chair.
Lorsque j'ai retrouvé les photos,
the page facing me.
La page
he says, sit down for this one.
Pour
he says, was Genesis 11.
C'était Genèse 11.
And they said, go to.
Et il dit,
let us build us a tower.
Allons et construisons une
it's famous. You can buy that. It's a souvenir of 9/11 in the museum.
C'est un souvenir, vous pouvez l'acheter.
Imagine that. That
imaginez
page of the Bible.
Cette page de la Bible.
Was saying, go to, let us build us a tower. And look at the spirit those people were in Genesis 11. And the number 11 is very significant. We saw it once before. 12 speaks of human government, the perfection. 11 speaks of human government. And how it will always fail because it falls short of 12. 11 speaks of deterioration and disintegration. That's what 11 speaks of.
C'est de cela que parle 11.
And it speaks of a disintegration through judgment.
Et il parle de la désintégration par le jugement.
We find when Cain was judged. It was Genesis 4
jugé,
verse 11. It's always the 11s.
Genèse, chapitre 12,
when God came down and confounded them with their tower because of the spirit they were in was Genesis 11. There's so many 11s, friends, you can trace in the Bible. September the 11th. The first plane to strike the building was American Airlines Flight 11.
Le premier avion qui a frappé la tour.
Go and check, it's the truth. It was Flight 11.
C'était le,
and 55 minutes later, 5 by 11, American Airlines 77 struck the other tower. It's interesting, friend. You go and study 11. You'll see there's 11s everywhere. 11 means the disintegration of what man is trying to build. Doing away with man is building so that God can establish his order. And when we're speaking of 11s, I'll tell you another meaning from the Bible. 11 speaks of urgency.
L'urgence.
Jesus spoke of the 11th hour workers.
Jésus a parlé des travailleurs.
11 speaks of the lateness of the hour.
11 parle de combien tard l'heure est.
They say 11 speaks of the last chance.
11 parle de la dernière.
If you wanted to get to the vineyard, if you wanted to get your wages, get there quickly now.
Allez-y rapidement.
Because it's the 11th hour.
Parce que c'est la 11e heure.
It speaks of that right throughout the Bible.
And
you'll find when Judah was destroyed, it was in the 11th year of King Zedekiah. that Babylon came and destroyed them. It's always, I could give you dozens of examples, but it just really shows. And this man, he goes, takes his photo, and it's Genesis 11. And it's actually highlighted if you look at the photo close. The person who's reading his Bible is, go to, let us build a tower. And the same spirit in the last days of Nimrod. Because who is going to force people to take the mark of the beast? It's America. It's the Lamb who then speaks like a dragon. And there's an image unto the beast. The World Council of Churches rises from America. And from there, there's an enforcement of the system. That's the spirit they're in, friends, but they don't realize it.
Dans se trouve,
so they have their freedom tower, and Obama comes.
Ils ont la tour de liberté,
then the tree of hope.
Et puis l'arbre de l'espoir.
So we saw last week that girder came and knocked down the sycamore tree.
Passée, nous avons vu que,
and they took that sycamore tree and made an exhibit of it.
Ils ont
and then they came and they planted the cedar tree right in its place.
Ils ont construit, les cèdres juste à l'endroit.
But you know what's happened to that cedar tree?
Savez-vous ce qui est arrivé?
It's dying.
Cet arbre est en train
and
de
everything around that tree is dying.
Et tout ce qui est
you can see from the photo.
Voir
it's withering and it's dying.
Il est en train
and they don't understand why.
Flâner.
What does that speak of, friends?
De quoi est-ce que ça parle?
If you fail to repent
si vous
and you try to circumvent God's judgment,
et
you try to build your things and plant your own things, it'll seem to flourish for a while. But it's not going to take long and it's going to wither. Because God has a system and a pattern and an order. And the children of God only flourish within that order. To those who do His will. Psalm 1. They shall be like trees planted by the rivers of water. Their leaves shall never wither. You'll always have leaves, fellowship, the prophet says. And fruits. You'll always have those fruits. Because you tapped into the right source. But there was when they came and they were planting it in the big ceremony. They put the cedar tree down. Now it's dying, friends. And that means something. Because when Jesus came and cursed the fig tree, it meant something. When they came the next day and the fig tree was dying, they said, Lord, but the fig tree is dying. And what had Jesus done the day before? He went into the temple and saw their buying and selling, their Wall Street spirit there in the temple. And he didn't do anything. But he came out and he cursed the fig tree that speaks of Israel. And judgment was passed. But it wasn't immediately apparent. There were still some leaves and still some things until they passed the next day and it was withered up at the roots, the Bible says. It shows, friends, America and the systems of this world, they're doomed. The prophet told us 60 years ago, he said, America, you are finished. He says, I don't even pray for America anymore. He said, it's finished. It crossed the line. He says, put a George Washington, put an Abraham Lincoln in every county. He said, the system is so rotten, you can never turn it around. And now we're seeing the fruits in this age, friends. We're seeing what really is at the core. The spirit behind it all. I'll show you one more here, the witness of the word. In 1985, this one big Bible publishing house, they made a Bible called the One Year Bible. It's very popular. It's a Bible that you can read the whole Bible through in a year. They put the, like a day and they put verses and you can read the Bible through in a year. It's very popular in America. And millions of people since 1985 have been reading that Bible. And the amazing thing is, in that Bible, the reading for September the 11th includes Isaiah 9 verse 10. And there it is. I just took it from the app. September the 11th, the coming Assyrian invasion. So imagine you're reading your Bible every year. You get to September the 11th and you're reading exactly those scriptures. The invasion of the Assyrians. The destruction of Israel.
la destruction d'Israël.
And the attitude that America was in at that time.
Et l'attitude dans laquelle s'est trouvée l'Amérique en ce temps-là.
And then you see the fulfillment of it on September
the
11th.
Vous allez voir l'accomplissement de.
Friends, God has many, many ways of trying to get people's attention.
Que Dieu a essayé d'attirer l'attention.
I've learned that as well.
Je l'ai aussi appris.
Now, when the Lord brings a judgment or a correction in any of our lives. God is trying to get our attention. And He knows the way to get our attention. God knows exactly the right type of judgment. The right kind of visitation to visit upon each and every one of us. And to know two people, it's the same. Because God desires mercy in the midst of His judgment. He desires it to be a correction. He doesn't come to destroy you with His judgment. That'll come at the end. When you cross that line and there's no more mercy. But God is merciful. You know, the Bible actually says that judgment is a strange work to God. That's what it says. That's a strange work. God doesn't like doing it. It's not His natural nature that He wants to just be a judge. And imagine He sent the prophet 50 years ago who proclaimed those things. God vindicated Himself. But still up to today, God is still giving them warnings. I said it to Brother Vergus. I said, sometimes God's mercy goes beyond what we think it is. We'll think America's finished. And it is. But God is still seeking for the souls of people to warn them. Even if they're not the bride, He doesn't want them to perish in unbelief. They may be foolish virgin, but God still cares for them.
Mais Dieu continue toujours à prendre soin.
Friends,
d'eux.
The blanket goes further than we think. Sometimes we think we're the only ones. Brother Peregrine said that on that message. He said, the spirit of Elijah, he says, you've got to be careful. It's a very inclusive, exclusive spirit.
Inclusive.
I'm the only one. And the Lord says, but you're not the only one. He says, you've got to be careful, because sometimes the Lord is doing more sometimes than you think. Sometimes God is reaching down there and trying to find somebody there. And sometimes you and I aren't there. So God uses other people to get the job done. And that's the mercy of God, friends. That's the goodness of God. Because God is not willing that any should perish. So God brings many, many ways to try to get people's attention. He tries signs and wonders like He did. Great healing revival. Then if it doesn't work, He's going to bring judgment. But God's perfect method is His word. The prophet says God's perfect way of speaking to you is through His word. This is the purity of God speaking to you. That's why a believer, you need to get yourself quiet before God with the Bible. This is God's pure word to you and to me. This is His redemptive revelation. And the things we don't understand, we find the understanding in the message. Because the message is the end time commentary of God's word. When you don't understand what the sixth seal is, you get your message search, type in sixth seal, and you find what the prophet said. Because that's the commentary for the end time. But friends, never forsake your Bible. Because imagine God made it like that. Every year the American people were reading warning after warning after without even realizing it. And I believe with the same God. He can warn us of things to come. He can speak to you and I before we're about to make the wrong decision. Before we're about to take a false step or make a wrong move or misjudge a situation. If we just get ourselves quiet before Him and the prophet says, just get the Spirit on you and He'll lead you from Scripture to Scripture and God will make known His mind to you. You know, that sister said to the prophet, said, Brother Branham, I so much wish I could see visions. And Brother Branham said, sister, every time I open my Bible, I see a vision. Because this is an open vision. This is the mind of God. And you and I just need to find which part of the vision we need at this time. We just need to find that part of the word that God is going to put His life, His virtue in.
Dieu va placer sa vertu
to speak to us individually at that time.
Amen.
And that makes all the difference, friends.
Et cela fait toute la différence.
You're going to pray many times with confusion, oppression, discouragement. You don't know what to do.
Vous ne savez pas quoi
you
faire.
Get yourself before the Lord. You wage warfare in heavenly places. You break free from the powers of darkness that are pressing down on you.
Les ténèbres qui vous oppriment.
Because just as much as God speaks to you, so does the devil.
Parle,
the prophet says there's many voices.
Plusieurs
he says it in the voice of God in the last days.
He
says there's many voices.
Fois,
but God has
fois.
One voice. All the other voices are the voice of the enemy. But the enemy, he wants to speak to your mind. He wants to speak to your heart if he can. He wants to confuse you. He wants to disorient you. He wants to discourage you. That's what he wants to do. And when you're in that kind of a condition, you know that you are. The best thing, you get yourself in the secret closet. You shut yourself in. And you start using a powerful weapon that never runs out of ammunition. It's a weapon called prayer. And you pray. And you come against that resistance and you resist the resistance. And the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And you break free from that realm of warfare. And you break into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then the prophet says, but the mistake is we stop there. We do all the talking. We speak to the Lord. He says, then wait. One of the best ways to wait is with an open Bible. You wait. And the Lord can even speak while you're in prayer. He'll speak a scripture right to toi. Or he'll tell you to do something. Or he'll remind you of something. Then you just wait. Then you hear his voice. When you finish speaking to him, you let him start speaking to you. And he gives you the answer. And friends, you may have entered into that time of prayer. And it was like the world was falling on your head. And you'll come out of there. And it's like the birds are singing once again. And all nature is still and is rejoicing with you. And then you just wait upon the Lord.
Et vous vous attendez au Seigneur.
And there's a word that he has.
Et y a une parole qu'il a.
And so many times it's a word to prepare you of things
c'est la
to come.
Pour vous préparer aux choses
but many times we find ourselves overcome. Why? Because
you
weren't sensitive to the warning
parce
that he gave.
Pas sensible à la parole.
The Lord had tried to equip us, had tried to
lorsque
give us what we need
nous donner ce
for
nous
those circumstances.
Avant ces circonstances.
But we were so busy in other
mais
things.
Dans
or we failed to hear his voice.
Et nous manquons d'entendre sa voix.
And friends, people failed to hear his voice and all these warning signs. They failed first when the prophet came with a message. And God tried different things and they failed completely to hear his voice. And what more can God do? Like Brother Wilmore was preaching on Friday night. What more can the Lord do? He couldn't do anything more for his vineyard. He did everything that he could, remember? He says, I came to the vineyard, I dressed it for 3 years. And then he came wanting fruit. And despite all of the investment he had made in that vineyard, all of the fertilizer that he had put and the pruning and the tendering and the tender care, he got no acceptable fruit from his vineyard. And that's what he found in America, friends. The prophet says, 1957, she crossed her line. He said, 56, all the evangelists have come off the foreign fields. Everyone's preaching in America. He said, it's very strange.
He
says, God is giving her a final call. And she failed to listen as a nation, was condemned as a nation. And God in his grace still tries to get the attention of the individual. To show them the lateness of the hour. Through many, many signs and many things that he does. And that's how the scripture says, what does God delight in? Him who trembles at his word. We said it last week. No, for someone to be in a soft condition in the heart. That when God corrects you, you tremble at His word. You're sensitive. You're not hard and you don't resist. You don't need the Lord to knock you down and do different things. But when the Lord speaks, you fall on your knees. And you say, Lord, I was foolish. I'm not going to do it anymore. And many times it's His grace. He brings you right to the edge of a disaster, then He delivers you. And you see, but yes, Yay, that was close. Friends, those are warning signs. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. But you need to hear the voice of the sign. Because He's given you a sign, but you need to hear the voice of the sign. It's not enough just to see the sign. Ah, something took place. Ah, there was almost a disaster at my job. What was the purpose? Because God has a purpose before of everything that He does. There's a voice of the sign. And that makes all the difference. Because the only thing that has the power of transformation is His voice. There's no power of transformation in a sign. It's His voice that has the power to change us. The signs are wonderful. They get our attention. Like Moses at the burning bush. But then we need to hear the voice. And it needs a certain condition. You need to take off your shoes. You need to humble yourself. And then He has something to say specific to you and specific to me. And that makes all the difference in life. Especially at those junctions in life. You need to hear His voice. But unfortunately, America never heard His voice. I'll take the last thing. The Sabbath year. I just wanted to show this just very briefly. And then we'll just project it in the future. It's quite a thought. Is when God dealt with His people Israel. It's one of the parallels, once again, which shows just how far things have really gone. Look in Leviticus 25, verse 2. Leviticus 25, verse 2. The Lord, when He sent Israel into His land, they were His planting. And He gave them His word, His law to govern them. And friends, that word governed every aspect of their life. And as long as Israel was in the spirit and was governed in every aspect of the national life and religious life by the word, they prospered. They were the covenant people of God. God would keep His side of the covenant. God would bless them. And one of the things that He said, verse 2, Leviticus 25, He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thereof thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land." So God gave a Sabbath rest on the seventh day to His people. And He gave a Sabbath year to the land. The land must rest on the seventh year. Now friends, this has big implications economically, financially, in the labor market, because no one has any work to do in the seventh year if you're working agriculture. So in order to be faithful to this precept of His word, you had to have a living relationship with Jehovah. Because you had to trust in Him. That on that sixth year, He was going to bless you with a double portion. He was going to give you an abundance to make a provision. So that you could let the land have a rest on the seventh year.
It
says, verse 5, "That which grows of its own accord of your harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather thy grapes of the vine and rest, for it is a year of rest unto the land." So whatever grew, you left, and if you continue reading, it was for the poor of the land. The poor could go now and take whatever grew of itself, and they could harvest it and use it for themselves. During the Sabbath year, it was really, really a test for the people. So every seventh year, now, the seventh year, it started, every year started on Tishri 1. That was the first day of the year.
Le premier jour de
l'année. And it ended, we'll see, on Elul 29. That was the last day of the year.
Ça allait finir le 29, et c'était le dernier jour.
And those days were significant.
Et ces jours étaient
si because on that last day, Elul 29, of the Sabbath year,
ce 29e jour de l'année sabbatique,
there was a release.
Il y avait
of all people that were in debt.
Un relâchement de tout ce
so the last day of the Sabbath year, so this only happened once every 7 years.
Jour, ceci
on a particular
fois,
day
la septième année,
that anybody that had a debt was owed money,
tous ceux qui avaient été endettés,
it was forgiven. It was wiped out. Let's read it in Deuteronomy 15, just so we can see. This is really the word. Amen. Deuteronomy 15.
Deuteronome, chapitre 15.
Now I know when you lend money to brethren, some still live under the law. And they're waiting for the 7th year so that you'll forget the debt. But we shouldn't be really like that as brethren. We're not living under the law anymore. We don't have any. The 7th Sabbath year was called the Shemitah. We don't have any Shemitah debts with brethren
here.
Deuteronomy 15. Verse 1.
Deuteronome, chapitre 15, le verset
1. At the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. It literally means to let something fall.
Cela veut dire relâcher quelque chose.
So you owe me money, I just let it fall on that
toi, tu me dois de l'argent,
I'll say, I forgive you of your debt, it's finished.
You
don't owe me anything more.
Tu n'as plus rien.
So though you may have had your books and put all of the debts people owed you,
si tu avais, le livre où tu as mis tout ce qui te doivent de l'argent,
and said, I'm doing well.
Et,
when that day came,
lorsque ce jour
you just wiped it clean. Phew! All your wealth, in a sense, all your debt was wiped out. That's the law of release. Look on the next verse. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou may exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. So if you lend to an unbeliever, a pagan, you would go and get your money from them. But to brethren, you didn't ask the debt. It was forgiven. It was like a jubilee in a sense.
C'est comme un jubilé dans un certain sens.
It was the grace of God.
C'était la grâce de Dieu.
Now, as long as Israel was faithful to this,
aussi longtemps qu'Israël était fidèle à ceci,
God was very faithful to them.
Dieu leur était fidèle.
God wouldn't allow famine to come.
Dieu ne permettait pas que la famine.
If they kept the Sabbath year,
s'ils ont observé,
and they kept this day of release,
et que ce jour de relâchement,
this forgiving of debt,
le pardon,
it was a blessing.
C'était une bénédiction.
You see, and God's His precepts to us should be blessing. When he speaks of giving to the Lord, it should be a blessing to us, because he's promised, whatever you give to me, I'll return it pressed down, shaken over. So he gives you back more than you ever give him. That's the principle that God has. But the moment that Israel started getting away from a real relationship with the Lord, just as much as the prophet says, tithes paying is an act of the Holy Ghost. When you find someone get out of the Spirit, one of the first things, they start paying their tithes. You'll see it straight away. It's like a law. Because they've lost their relationship with the Lord. They're not trusting in Him for their blessing anymore. They're trusting in their own labor, in their own work. And then people start working on Sundays and doing all those kind of things. And, you know, because you're trusting in yourself now. But as long as you're in the Spirit, you more than willingly give to the Lord. Because He's proved it time and time, He's more than faithful to give back. But with Israel, God warned them. We won't read it, but in Leviticus, Moses had warned them. He said, on this year of release, and on this Sabbath of rest, Sabbath year, if you fail to keep it, he said, I'll scatter you among the heathen. I'll scatter you among the heathen. He says, and I will lay your cities desolate. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths.
Alors la terre va
se réjouir.
Il y a un principe là.
He says as long as it lies desolate, it'll rest.
Aussi longtemps qu'elle reste en désolation, elle se repose.
Because it didn't rest on your Sabbaths.
Parce que votre année de sabbat.
When you dwelt upon it.
Lorsque tu as.
So the Lord with Israel. For 490 years.
Pendant 490
he was watching.
Il regardait.
And Israel got away from the Lord.
Et Israël s'est éloigné de Dieu.
And they said. Gentlemen,
ils ont dit, jeunes gens,
it's too much economic loss
to
have one whole year that we don't work our fields.
Avoir une année où vous ne travaillez pas la terre.
Let's do it. And they started finding ways around it. You know how we do to justify themselves and different things. And the first year, Sabbath year came. And Israel didn't keep it.
Israël ne l'a pas observé.
And the Lord put it in his book, one.
Et le Seigneur a écrit dans sa parole, un.
And the second 7 year came. 7 years later, they didn't keep it. The land didn't rest. The Lord put it in his book, two.
Et le Seigneur a écrit dans sa parole,
and he kept on counting.
Et il a continué à compter.
Until it came to 70.
Jusqu'à ce qu'ils sont arrivés.
And when it came to 70,
lorsqu'ils sont arrivés,
he sent his prophet, Jeremiah.
Il a envoyé son
prophète. And he said, Jeremiah, go and tell the people.
Dit, Jérémie va dire aux gens,
that I'm taking them into captivity for 70 years. Remember that.
Je vais les emmener en captivité pendant 7 ans.
And what was the reason why? The Lord said to make up for each of those Sabbath years that my people failed to keep.
Friends, ils n'ont pas observé.
God, when he judges, when he blesses, he blesses liberally. He's abundant in his blessing. But when he judges, it's exact. You'll think you got away with it. But when God comes and says it's time for judgment, he has everything recorded. And every one of those 70 times that Israel failed to keep the Sabbath year of rest, the Lord said, okay, it's time for payback time now.
C'est le temps de
and he put the people in Babylon, sent Nebuchadnezzar, took them in Babylon 70 years. And for 70 years, the land said, this is wonderful. We've been overworked all these years. And once God had extracted exactly what his word appointed, he brought the people back onto the land once again. And the people were very faithful.
Et là, les gens
and they remembered.
Et ils se sont
and friends, God is really like that with us as well.
Seigneur,
now, when he wants to get your attention, he knows how to get your attention. You know, and that's what I'm saying. There's a voice behind the judgment.
Il y a une voix
God didn't just send them there for nothing.
Dieu ne les a pas envoyés là.
Even the length of their judgment had a purpose.
Le temps de leur
it was to fulfill his word.
Pour accomplir
it was to teach them a lesson.
C'était pour leur enseigner
and the moment you learn the lesson, there's no more point for the judgment anymore. That's why if you find the hand of the Lord is continually upon you in your life, don't blame anybody else. Don't look outside of yourself anywhere for the answer. Go before him and say, Lord, what is the voice of my judgment? What is the lesson that you wanted me to learn? What are you trying to teach me through this? And the moment you learn the lesson, he takes away his hand. Because God, he just wants his children to learn the lesson. That's all that he's wanting for his people. Let's read 2 Chronicles 36 just to confirm that. Verse 20. This is when they went into judgment.
2
Chronicles 36, verse 20. It says, and them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where there were servants to him and his sons. You see, the people didn't want to serve the Lord.
Les gens ne voulaient pas servir le Seigneur.
So they said, okay, let me make you be a servant of somebody else. And then you can compare and see who's the best master to have.
Et vous allez comparer qui est les bons maîtres.
And when they were in the land, friends,
quand ils étaient dans le
in the promised land,
dans la terre,
and they were looking at the heathen out there,
ils regardaient aux païens là dehors,
and they saw the pagan idols. They said, oh, those are wonderful gods.
Les idoles païennes, ils ont
be
des
careful.
Des dieux merveilleux.
When you're in grace and you look out there and you get tempted and say, but I wish I was still in the discos. I wish I was still in the clubs. Be careful. God has a way of teaching you that that's not a very clever way to think. So finally they envied those gods and they envied those nations. So the Lord said, okay. And he took them out of the land. Put them amidst the heathen. Then they saw how ugly those gods were. Then they saw how cruel those gods were. Then they saw the heathen taking their children and putting in the mouths of Chemosh into the fires. And, hey! And they just said, but we never thought it was going to be like this. And then they were under their taskmasters, the heathen. That were not governed by the spirit of Jehovah. But it was the spirit of the devil in them. And while they were groaning now as servants of the idols and of the foreign nations, they started to remember the Lord. And they said, but the Lord is good. If only the Lord would allow me back there once again. I don't want to serve these ugly gods like this. This is bondage. This isn't what we thought it was going to be.
Friends,
don't let it go that far. Sometimes the Lord has to do that, friends. You are so lust for the things of the world, he'll give you over. And then you'll get yourself like Samson, so in bondage to those very things you were lusting after. And the mask is taken off and you see what those things really are. Because when the devil presents himself to you, he doesn't show who he really is. He comes like Delilah with the long finger nails with finger polish on them, nail polish, and her eyes with all the mascara and the eyelashes, the rouge and the lipstick, just the right to bring out the maximum of the beauty. Friends, that's how the devil comes. But you don't realize there's a devil's heart inside of there, friends. That's what they did, the children of Israel. In the days of Balaam, they did the same thing. The prophet says that they started to lust because their women had calluses on their hands from washing in the desert to keep their clothes clean. Imagine. And the sun and the wind blowing on the complexion of the woman of Israel. And they were the daughters of God. And here came the devil with Balaam and Balak. And he brings all the fine dressed women of Moab. And invites them from behind their defenses. He says, come, let's have a feast. Baal Peor. And friends, the prophet says, God never forgave them. For be careful, friends. Be careful. One day you'll overstep his word one time too many. And in his grace, he'll put you in a captivity for a season. And if you fail to hear his voice, then be careful. Because it comes a certain line, like with America, that you cross and there's no more going back anymore. That you'll be like Esau, you'll now want the blessing, but it's gone from you. And you'll seek it with tears and with pleading. But because of the love of pottage, the sensual elements, you forsake your birthright. Friends, be careful. This message is our birthright. Why do you want to forsake your birthright for the pottage of this world? So that you can kiss a boy and kiss a girl before you're married. You'll find it after a while. It's not so interesting after a while. And it's sin if it's not done in the marriage covenant. Like I said in the Psalms, the Bible says God gave them over to the desires of their heart. But he brought leanness in the soul. And you'll be grieved inside of yourself. And you'll find a husband will just be such a... I can't find the terminology to use. You'll just find in his home, the husband will just be kicking everybody. Nah, you know where the problem is? He's out of the will of God. And when you get out of the will of God, God brings leanness in your soul. There's no satisfaction in your experience anymore. But you will find somebody who's in the will of God, they'll sit at home. Friends, the world might be falling apart out there. There's not enough food in the cupboards. But all is well here. And this is the only place that counts, is what's taking place in here. Like Brother Howard said last week, when the Holy Ghost comes in, the holy life comes out, you know. When the Lord comes in, His will is being done in your soul. Satisfaction manifests itself. You will see it in somebody's eyes. You will see it on the complexion of their skin. There's a spiritual healthiness about somebody when they're in the will of God. And that's what believers want. Above anything else, you want to be in the will of God. I'm sure you're the same as me. So let's just finish it off and bring this. How does this affect America? So we can see that this Sabbath year, it was a blessing to Israel and to the land, and God would bless them. And God would manifest His covenant faithfulness to them by providing for them as long as they were in His will. But when now they got out of His will, and when they started to do the things of God grudgingly, now friends, there's a principle there again. It's not what we do. It's the attitude that we do it in. That makes the difference. Jesus said, "These people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far removed from me." He says it's a vain oblation. It's what's the essence behind what you're doing. That's what God looks at. You may give. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You may give and get no blessing from God because you're doing it and you're grieved when you do it. And God looks at the essence or the attitude behind your behavior. And Israel, their whole attitude started to change. They didn't want to have to keep these things anymore. It was too much of a burden for the economy and all the problems which they had. So they stopped doing it. And then God said, okay, I'm going to allow now this Sabbath year to become a judgment sign. And He sent Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, okay, you failed to keep the Sabbath, 70 of them, I'm going to judge you for 70 years. So when Israel got out of the will of God, the Sabbath year became a sign of judgment. Now, that was Israel in their last days. So surely America in their last days, can we find a sign of judgment in the Sabbath year? Yes, we can. I'll show you. September the 11th happens. The economy goes down. The stock market plunges. For the next 7 years, they accumulate debt.
Ils ont accumulé des dettes.
If you saw it last week on the news, the American Federal Reserve voted to continue their stimulus program, they call it.
Ils ont continué avec ce programme de pomper de l'argent dans l'économie.
And their stimulus program is they're printing from nowhere $80 billion a month and putting it in the economy. $80 billion a month.
80 milliards.
That is $960 billion a year. It's almost $1 trillion. It's the second or the third year they've done it. They just make money from nowhere. They just get the printing presses to print. How long do you think you can go like that? It's a disaster waiting to happen. The American government is outspending its budget by more than $1 trillion a year because of Iraq, Afghanistan, and all of these things. See, the law is, they tried to avert God's judgment at 9/11, yeah? Failed to learn the lesson. They said, no problem. We'll sort the problem out ourselves. Some brothers shake their heads because we all try to do that now and again. And by saying, we don't need God to help us here, we're going to build stronger. We'll go and sort out these Assyrians, these Iraqis and the Afghanistan. Yeah? We saw it last with the terrorists. And they spend billions upon hundreds of billions in wars they cannot win. And as they go from 2001 to 2008, the great recession of 2008, they accumulate all this debt. And they take the interest rates right down and they let anybody and their dog get a mortgage. And there's the credit bubble. Every bubble has to burst. And the bubble burst. And in 2008, the bubble burst. Tah! And we all know it. I was on a three-day week at
2008,
work. Brother Will lost his job as an architect.
Brother
Virgus lost his job in construction.
It
shook the world when it burst.
A fait trembler le monde.
So this Sabbath year,
et cette année ici,
we'll take it in 2008.
Cela nous amène,
it starts Tishri 1.
Cela a commencé
That's the
avec
first day.
Tishri 1.
And the last day is Elul 29, which is the day of release, where you wipe off the debts.
Le jour où vous, effacez toutes les dettes.
In America,
en Amérique,
the crash came. On Elul 29, on the day of release. 2008 was the Sabbath year. And the last day of the Sabbath year, when the Jews in Israel were forgiving debts, wiping everything off the books, the economy in America crashed. And it went down 7%, 777 points. It was the greatest fall in points in a single day in history.
C'était la plus grande chute dans l'économie.
And just to prove it, on the first day of that year, the very first domino to fall, if you remember, was Northern Bank in Britain. It fell. And it was on Tishri 1. It was on the first day of the Sabbath year. So America, they're not faithful. They don't keep the covenant blessings of God. They're not under the law. They're not under this particular law. But God comes to show the same principle that he sent his people into judgment. The same getting away. So you take it back from there. From 2008. Let's go back 7 years. To the previous day of release, or the day of fall, when things fell.
Le premier jour de la chute.
And you find it was September the 7th, 2017th, which was the second greatest ever crash. At that stage, it was the greatest crash in history. After September the 11th, on that exact day, the stock market went down another 7%. Can that be a coincidence, friends? It's not. There's a voice behind every judgment. Even when God visits you and visits me, it's an appointed time. It's a specific time and for a specific reason. And there's a specific lesson that we're supposed to learn. And then you find Wall Street. Like, I've got all the quotes on Wall Street and the prophecies of these Wall Street crooks. And the tribulation period, when you find the rich men, their money is going to become nothing. It actually says it in the book of Ezekiel. It says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Now, if we take those two dates,
si nous prenons cela,
there'd really be a temptation to extend it in the future, wouldn't it?
C'est vraiment une tentation de l'étendre.
Because you know, God always works in threes.
Parce que Dieu travaille toujours.
But I think we need to be careful with that.
Mais nous devons faire attention avec cela.
You know, there was an earthquake. The prophet
un tremblement.
Prophesied 1964.
Les prophètes avaient prophétisé.
It was the Good Friday earthquake. Yeah?
C'était le
it was commemorating the great Good Friday earthquake when Christ died for us. It was a 9.2. It shook Alaska. It was the second most powerful earthquake ever recorded. It was on Good Friday 1964. The next year, 1965, there was another earthquake on Good Friday 1965. It was further south near Oakland. So you and I would have thought the big one's coming 1966. But we're still waiting for the big one. So it doesn't particularly mean that. But it's very interesting to see, friends. In 2015, September the 13th, when the next day of fall comes, it'll be interesting to see what comes. Can you give me 5 more minutes to finish here? Look, let's look into the future, signs in the skies. There's a red moon rising. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this. It's very famous. NASA brought it up first.
NASA en a parlé d'abord.
There's coming some signs in the skies in the next 2 years that, friends, are very significant. It's called a red moon. It's caused by an eclipse.
lune rouge.
When the sun strikes through the atmosphere of the earth and reflects onto a moon and it makes it red.
Lorsque le soleil frappe,
it's very significant in some sense.
Se reflète en
we read in the sixth seal, the moon shall be turned to blood.
In
Joel, it speaks of the moon being turned to blood.
Et dans Joel, il parle de la lune transformée.
The sixth seal, we know, it speaks
le
of that.
Saut, nous savons cela, en parle.
And what's going to happen is that the moon
qui va se passer, c'est que
is going to go into this eclipse
la lune
twice
dans cette eclipse
in quick succession.
Des succès,
and it's going to fall
et ça va
on important feast days in Israel.
Ça
look
va
at this.
Avec des fêtes importantes
in 2014 on the Passover,
2014,
which is the beginning
qui est le commencement
of the feast of the Lord,
de la fête du Seigneur,
there's going to be a red moon.
Il y aura une lune rouge.
And then the very last festival, Sukkot, which is Tabernacles, 2014, there's going to be a red moon. Then 2015, it's going to do it exactly again. On the Passover, it's going to be an eclipse with a red moon. And on Tabernacles again. And in the last 500 years, this has only happened twice before. It was in 1949 and 1950. That was in Israel. Fought its war of independence. And then it happened in 1967 and 1968 during the Six-Day War when Israel took back the Temple Mount. And the Jews say, when the moon is in eclipse, it is a bad omen for Israel. If its face is red as blood, it is a sign that the sword is coming to the world. And this next Sabbath, seventh Sabbath year finishes here in September 2015. What does it mean? I'm not a prophet. I'm not setting any dates. Like I said, but the prophet says God always does something in the heavens before it takes place on earth.
Avant que cela, au ciel, avant que cela ne puisse arriver.
Something's changing, friend.
Terre,
things are heading somewhere.
Les choses
I don't think it needs us as message believers to examine so much the signs of the skies because you and I can feel inside of ourselves that this world has gone far. That judgment, friends, it's so close that it doesn't take much now just to tip things over the edge. But when I saw that, I said, that is significant. Especially because it falls on the feast days of Israel. And those feast days are God's appointed times. The times that God appointed as signs to testify something to us. And the interesting thing, if you go all the way back, it happened on the day of the crucifixion.
Ça s'est passé le jour de la crucifixion.
I know it when you watch on events, watch the Star of Bethlehem.
Si vous
there was a blood moon
Bethlehem, vous allez voir
on the day that Christ was crucified.
La lune en sang, le jour où Christ était crucifié.
It means something, friends.
Alors, ça veut dire quelque chose.
All of these things put together.
Toutes ces choses mises ensemble,
it just confirms to me what the prophet said in the message.
Me confirme ce que le prophète a dit dans le message.
How much time we have left, nobody
combien
knows.
De temps nous avons.
What these things mean, no one sets dates. I think everybody's had enough of dates and trying to set dates. But when the prophet saw that eclipse, 1964, just before the Pope went to Jerusalem, he came and he brought it in the Church Age book. And he said, gross darkness. And a few days later, the Pope went to Jerusalem. And the prophet came and brought it as a sign that there's something brewing. And they're saying the Pope, they've invited him 2014 to go to Israel. I wonder, friends, if there's no trouble brewing for Israel. They've got to come to the time of Jacob's trouble. God's got to bring them into a tribulation that squeezes out who they really are. But God always shows in the heavens first before he does something on the earth. And what should be the attitude of a believer? Plant your potatoes today.
plantez vos pommes aujourd'hui, soyez fidèles
to the message that you've heard.
Au message que vous croyez.
Do today
faites aujourd'hui
what God is leading you and I to
Dieu
do. And if you're not secure in Christ,
si
if you're uneasy,
now
is the time. It's the 11th hour.
C'est la
11e it's an
heure.
Urgent time. It's an urgent time.
C'est un temps urgent.
Maybe, friends, it's time to press in.
Let's stand.
Let's sing that song, Nations Are Breaking. Israel's Awake. Now, just read from the book, The World Is Falling Apart As We Stand. The prophet says, sorry, I just want to get to the right quote. It's quite a long one. I just want to get to the end of it. He says, what is left?
Qu'est-ce qui reste?
Nothing except Hebrews 12:26.
Yeah, en dehors des broches,
yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Non seulement je vais ébranler la terre, mais aussi les
once
cieux.
More God will shake the earth.
Une fois de plus, Dieu va ébranler
and with it shake everything loose that can be shaken.
Tout ce qui peut être ébranlé sera ébranlé.
Then he will renovate it.
Alors il va rénover.
God is warning.
Dieu avertit.
My brother and sister.
Mon frère, ma
and
soeur,
there's only one place that can stand that shock.
Il n'y a qu'un seul endroit qui peut résister le choc.
And that is in the fold of the Lord Jesus.
Ça, c'est la protection,
and
la protection
let's sing that song.
Du Seigneur.
Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening, signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile dismembered, horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold.
Oh, hallelujah!
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, you lambs and care. Look up, your redemption is near. Fig tree is growing, Jerusalem restoring. A national life long dethroned. Today she is. Her latter rains are falling. Eternity. Oh, oh, hallelujah. The day of redemption is easier. Men's hearts are falling. For fear, be filled with the Spirit, your lamps to the day. Look up, your redemption is here. Oh, heaven's powers are shaking, and many, oh, many are mistaking that minute to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking. The day of redemption is, oh, it's here. The day of redemption is, oh, men's are failing for fear. Oh, where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are
failing for fear.
Be filled with the spiritual lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here.
Bible says men's hearts are failing for fear. This is a neurotic age, like the prophet said, friends. But the solution isn't in drugs and in tablets and things. They have their part to play. But the real solution is in Him. Is in your relationship with Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. Let's sing one more song, Brother George. Let's desire that before the Lord. Lord, lead me to the place of rest. Because God will only be able to get the best from your life when you're at rest. You know, when we're not at rest, when our minds are in more than one place at a time, it's hard for the Lord to get from us what He desires. But may the Lord lead us to rest, no matter how troublesome the times may be.
So just be faithful.
It's fine, bro.
So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to the prophets, the message. Walk in the light where He started thee. Oh, in these last days of trials, so near the end, when Christ from glory doth now descend, men's hearts are failing and filled with fear. We know the end time is surely here.
Oh, so just be faithful.
So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to this prophet, his message. Walk in the light where his star doth lead.
Oh, in every
church age, a star did shine to help God's people. A truth to find in this last church age, a star shines bright. So friends, receive Him, walk in the light.
Oh, so just be faithful.
So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophets, His message. Walk in the light where His star doth be.
So just be faithful.
So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light where He started.
The scripture says, we are not of the night, that these things should take us unawares. Now, sometimes we really fail to thank the Lord for His grace in this regard, friends.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's things that you and I know, things that are so clear to us, that the great dignitaries of the earth, the people that make the decisions in this earth, They have no understanding of. We know what's coming. We leave the times in His hands because He knows the appointed times. But friends, we know the season. We know what God expects of us. We know His grace to us. I really do believe we should thank the Lord for that. I think we should have a spirit of thanksgiving. Let's really sing one more song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's appreciate the Lord, friends, for the things that He's done. Forget about the secondary things of life. And just ask yourself that question. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever let you down? Has He ever been anything but good to you? Even in when He's corrected you, it's His goodness. It was for your good. It was for my good. The Lord is good, friends. And we need to worship Him for the great things that He has done. Let's sing that song.
There's a land of faithless days, and there is He who forswear. It shall never pass away. And there is no
hallelujah. God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fear. Oh, and there come time not by years, for there is no night.
Yes, they count
and they count time not by years, for there is no night there. Hold the gates of pearl are made in that city.
Oh,
hallelujah.
And the streets
of gold are laid, and there is no
night.
Hallelujah. God shall wipe away your tears.
Oh,
there's no death, no pain, no fear. And they count time not by years,
for there is no
night.
Yes, for there is no night there,
and the gates shall never close in that city.
Oh,
forsweet, there's life's crystal river flows, and there is no
night there.
God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no
tears.
Oh, and they count time not by years,
for there is no
night there. Yes, they count,
and they count
time not by years,
for there is
no
night there.
Oh,
there they need no sunshine bright in that city.
Oh,
for the Lamb is all the light,
and there's
no night there.
Oh,
God shall wipe away your tears.
There's no death yet, no pain, no tears.
And they count time not by years,
for there is
no
night there.
Oh, and they count time not by years,
for there is no
night there.
God shall wipe
away your tears.
There's no death,
no pain, no fears.
And they count time not by years,
for there is no night there.
Yes, they count,
and they count
time not by years.
Saints, let's pray to Him,
prions à lui,
because He is the light.
Parce qu'il est la lumière.
He is the light of that city.
Il est la lumière de cette ville.
He is the light of your life.
Hallelujah.
If you need light upon your path,
amen.
Why not call upon His name?
Hallelujah.
Whatever you need, let's pray. Let's speak to the rock. Let's come unto the fountain that never runs dry. Let's come to His feet. Let's pour ourselves before the Lord. Let's all pray. Father, I do bring myself before Thee, Lord. to wait upon the Lord. Just to thank you, Father, upon this time. Father, just so needy, Jesus, as a person of your grace, just every hour, Father, just of your mercy, of your grace, and of your hands, Father, so the desire to come to you, just so the desire to come to you. Amen. Just ask Brother Francois to come and close for us in prayer. If you could please remember Brother Wilmore and Sister Julie as they travel this week. May the Lord be with them on their journey, I pray. And also, not next Saturday, but the following one, we have Brother Alan Connor with us from England. I'm sure the saints do remember him. Amen. He's a real fine brother. He ministered a blessing last time. I think you remembered he preached on, I show you a better way. I think you remember that time he came on a Sunday. It was a real blessing to us. If you want to come, Brother Francois, to close for us. Let's remember Brother Will and his family. Please give the saints back home their our greetings, Brew. Ask them to keep us in prayer here in Babylon, that the Lord may help us, that the Lord's will may be done. And may God bless each and every one of us. Amen.
Let's pray. Wonderful Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
What more we can say? How more we can thank you, Father?
Yes, Lord.
That you're providing a spiritual food in due season.
Oh, Lord.
Father, our desire is not to move from your way,
Amen.
But to grow in your way, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And as Paul says, when we were a kid, we drink milk, Father.
Amen.
And there is a time that we need a solid meat, Father.
Amen.
These are those kind of the message that draw the attention of the elect, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And to see the time that we are living in, Father.
Amen, Lord. Yes,
how
Lord.
We thank you, Father, for using your servant, that he put himself aside, as the prophet says, the gift is the ability to put yourself aside,
yes,
and the Lord use you, Father.
Amen, amen.
We thank you so much. Our heart is burning of joy, Father,
yes,
and to see the event made clearly by prophecy. Father, these things are not from man, Father.
Amen,
not just to make us better people than the other, but it's your love toward us, Father.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Be manifest in this Amen. End time, Father.
Amen.
That you send us a message of the hour, Father.
Amen.
The message, Father, that has shaken our life, Father.
Yes,
is the message that given a quickness inside of our heart, Father.
Yes,
that we will never, never be the same anymore.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
We Amen. So much, Father, what that this message to leave the page of the spoken word,
Amen.
The page of the Bible, Father,
yes,
and to become flesh among us.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Any time when you come to take us, Father, we will be ready to go, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask you, as we see the day approaching, the scripture says, redeem the time, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That we want to redeem the time, that we want to ask you a closer and a deeper walk with thee, Father.
Yes,
that you should clean our life from everything that to do with this world, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because we know that this world is under a curse, Father.
Amen.
There's nothing that will stand, Father.
Amen.
Because yes, your judgment is already proclaimed, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you so much, Father.
Amen.
And our desire is to go deeper in these things, Father.
Amen.
That you yes, shall Lord. Give us something, Father, that will change us, Father.
Amen.
That the kingdom of heaven will be really inside of our life.
Please,
that
Lord.
Everything of this life will be completely dimmed from our life, Father.
Please,
and
Lord.
We'll have no influence in our home. And we'll have no influence in our life.
Please,
and
Lord.
Christ alone will be manifest in our life.
Amen.
In our workplace, in our college, Father, we shall be able to reflect the light of the gospel, Father.
Amen.
Father, we ask you, Father, putting my heart together with the heart of your congregation,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
That your kingdom shall be established in each of us' hearts.
Please,
Father.
Lord.
Because
yes,
your
Lord.
Word says, when you were here in the human flesh, you say, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything shall be given unto thee,
yes,
Father.
Yes, Lord.
In such a time that we are living, Father, that the world is under case, under this condition,
yes,
and the sign all around us, as the prophet say, the red flashing line of his coming,
yes, Lord,
is all around us, Father.
Amen.
What else we can ask you, Father? Yeah. It's a really Christian life, Father.
Amen.
It's the power to live a Christian life, Father. That those three virtues, Father, that we want it to be manifested inside of our life,
please,
Father.
Yes,
a prayer life, Father.
Amen.
That we never cease to pray. That
Amen.
We will be able to hurt for the lost, Father, because there's no more
yes,
time,
Lord,
Father.
Yes,
give us that desire, Father.
Please,
the
yes,
prophet
Lord.
Say we should continually have the desire for the lost, Father,
Amen.
And to seek
yes,
for
Lord.
The lost,
yes,
Father. Sometime, Father, we are caught up because of the circumstance and the condition that is around us,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
But we want to be lifted today, Father, that this service, Father, we can say that from that time, something Amen. Happened to my life, Father.
Yes,
there was a change. Because each time when we come to thy presence, Father, something good happened, Father.
Amen.
And there's nobody that meets you in the old day, Father, that remains the same.
Yes,
each
Lord.
Person that come across
Amen.
With delight, something changed inside
yes,
of our
Amen.
Life, Father. And we believe that this message has power enough to transform our life,
Amen.
To change our
yes,
life,
Lord.
Father, to change the inner side, Father, that we shall be able to reflect Christ, Father, forever in each of us' life, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We ask you, Father,
please,
that
Lord.
These things should not depart from our heart, that
Amen.
We shall meditate it day and night,
Amen.
As you said to Joshua, and your ways will be prosper, Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We ask you, Father, that
Amen.
This word of the law, this word of the Bible, may never depart from our mouth, Father.
Amen.
That we should teach them to our children
Please,
and
Lord.
To the children of our children, Father.
Amen.
If there's many years to come, Father, that these things will be inheritance that we transfer to our children, Father, and
yes.
to our grandchildren, Father.
Amen.
Father, help
Amen.
Us, Father, to live a holy life, Father.
Please,
and
Lord.
Help us, Father, to forsake everything that is not of thee, Father.
Please,
we don't
Lord.
Want, Father, that day to be disappointed, Father.
Amen.
The prophet says that the great deception at the judgment day,
Amen.
It will not be the harlot, Father.
Amen.
It will be the make-believer, Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We don't want to be the make-believer.
Oh,
because
Lord.
You have provided something that can stand the test of time for us.
Amen.
Which
yes.
is the message of the hour, Father.
Amen.
How do we want that this message to become a life in each of us,
Amen.
Father.
Yes,
if there is anybody of us in a condition that is not yet stable in your kingdom, Father, we ask you, Father,
Please,
that you shall make a way, Father,
Amen.
That our foot shall be stand right in the message of the hour, Father.
Amen.
That this yeah. thing shall help us, Father, that all the critics, Father, everything that man will say will have no effect in our life,
Amen.
Father. We
yes.
remember Paul says that I believe in everything that is written in the law and the word of the prophet.
Yes.
The way they call heresy, Father,
Amen.
That the way we believe, Father,
yes,
because
Lord.
It's your way, Father.
Amen.
No matter what man says, but what you says is the absolute, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we want to hold in that absolute, which is the Bible, Father.
Amen.
We ask you, Father, that you shall help us, Father, and to go higher and higher. In the kingdom of God,
Please,
that
Lord.
You shall help us, Father, to grow in the revelation of the word of God, Father.
Amen.
Because the prophet said, never cease to seek for revelation, Father.
Amen.
That's why we ask you, Father, that you shall grant us more of thy revelation, Father.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We shall be able to discern properly the sign of the time that we are living in,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
What more you could do, Father? You have provided all the resources that the bride need, Father.
Amen.
And the scripture tell us the bride had made herself ready, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you so much, Father. And we want you to renew the virtue
yes,
in
Lord.
The life of thy servant, Father.
Amen.
That he has labored for your kingdom, Father.
Amen.
That he, a portion of heaven be a blessing for himself
Please,
and for his family, Father.
Amen.
That
Amen.
The next time when he stand here, Father, something good also will happen, Father.
Please,
that
Lord.
Will lift up our faith again, Father.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
Let us put aside all the child things, Father.
Amen.
And seek for the perfection, Father.
Amen.
That we shall move to the perfection, Father.
Please,
and
Lord.
The perfection only come from thee. That why we ask you that you shall perfect us, Father.
Please,
because
God.
You, the one who call us, you are perfect, Father.
Amen.
Father, we want to depart from this place, not the way we came, Father.
Please, God.
But we want to depart from this place fully with thy instruction, Father.
Amen.
That we shall say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord, Father.
Amen. Amen.
We want to remember our brother who is planning, who is traveling home, Father, that you shall lead his footsteps,
please,
Father.
Lord. Yes,
that
Lord.
You shall be with him there, Father.
Amen.
Let him be a blessing to the
please,
people
Lord.
That he's going to find there, Father.
Amen.
When he come back, Father, and the glory honor will be given unto thee, Father.
Yes,
and each of us, Father, in everything that we are doing, we want to give glory and praise and the honor unto thee, Father.
Yes,
not multiply, by multiplying words
no.
that you're going to answer to our prayer.
Amen.
But you look at the sincerity of our heart, Father.
Yes,
so many times our sincerity is not enough. That's why we ask you sincerity, Father,
please, Lord.
To come inside of us, Father.
Amen.
That you shall be able, Father, to help us to see things the way you are seeing things, Father.
Amen.
And to do things the way you are doing things, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we should not just be the hearers of the word, Father. But we shall be the doer of thy word, Father.
Yes,
that we shall be able to bring this word in a practical life, Father.
Amen.
If a such message will come, Father, surely it will with a purpose, Father.
Yes.
And we know that the purpose behind that you want to make us out of the sleeping condition, Father. That we shall wake and see the time that we are living in,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
How many times we don't know, Father. But you have provided us with all the resources that we need. That we shall not miss that
Amen.
Day.
Yes.
Father, where there's need of the Holy Spirit, Father.
Please, Lord.
You say that you shall lay hands on the people and they shall receive the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Father.
Yes.
Our hands are short to reach wherever people are, Father.
Amen.
But you can reach everywhere, Father.
Please, Lord.
That's why we ask you that you shall reach each of us, our souls, Father.
Amen.
That you shall pour down your Holy Spirit, Father.
Yes.
That the inside will change as our brother preached last time, Father.
Amen.
And we shall be able outside to manifest Christ, Father. That
Amen.
In our dealing with one another, Father, we deal like Christ, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, make us a better Christian, Father.
Please, Lord.
And give us all that we need, Father.
Amen.
And we will give glory and praise unto thee, Father. We do not seek for the riches of this world, Father. Because we know that they will decay, Father.
Yes,
we know that they will be ruined one day, Father.
Amen.
We can amass all the riches and everything that we need, Father. It's vanity after vanity.
Yes,
Solomon
Lord.
Proved it, Father. And the people that live around us, we can see that
yes,
these
Lord.
Things are vanity, Father.
Amen.
We don't want to put our heart on them.
Amen.
We want to put our heart in the heavenly treasures,
yes,
Father.
Amen.
Help
yes,
us, Lord. Father. Because the human element most time wear us down, Father.
Yes.
But our trust is not in ourselves, Father. Our trust is in thee, Christ.
Amen.
The author and the finisher of our salvation.
Yes,
and we bring all our life now at thy hand, Father. Unspoken request, Father.
Yes.
We bring them at thy hand, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because the Bible says that you know even the number of the hair of our head, Father.
Amen.
And you know all our need, Father. Spiritually and physically need, Father. We ask you, Father,
yes.
that you shall provide it to them according to thy word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us, Father, as we depart. Spare
Jesus.
Us from all the accidents,
Amen.
From all the work of the enemy, Father.
Amen.
Because your scripture says that everything that the devil will make against thee will never prosper, Father.
Amen.
That why we bound all the work of the enemy
yes.
and we send it to the ground, Father.
Amen.
That your yeah. will shall be done in each of us life, Father.
Please,
we take this control of this place and we commit all at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless saints. Can I just see Brother Wilmore quickly before we go? God bless saints. May the Lord be with you.
Is a country far beyond the starry sky. Is a city there never comes a night. If the faithful they will reach the tunnel shore. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the Lamb is alive. That city where there never comes a night. I have mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is alive. I am going where the Lamb is alive. we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now is bright. We be changed to clouds and rain will, they will go to that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the Lamb is alive, that city where the Lamb made no night. I have mansion over there, and when free from toil and care, I am going where the Lamb is alive. I am going where the Lamb is alive.